May it please the court, it's deja vu all over again when a case comes here with the same name and the same issue as one the court decided in 1997. That case, which I call JCAR 1, is dispositive of nearly every issue in this case, including the mootness arguments made by the respondents. Immediately after the JCAR decision, the legislature amended the statutes and the governor issued an executive order consenting to the new arrangement. And as a result, we now have no fewer than three complete legislative veto procedures in Chapter 536, the Administrative Procedure Act. Now, the court can cut the Gordian knot and avoid the constitutional issue because the statutes provide that the legislative veto applies to delegations of rulemaking authority made by the General Assembly, and the Renewable Energy Standard was passed by ballot initiative. Section 536.024 is the linchpin of the JCAR wagon. It refers to explicitly to delegations by the General Assembly and says that the validity of rules is contingent on compliance with that section as to rules beginning in 1994. Other sections cross-reference 024 or contain their own language about the General Assembly being the delegator of authority. And there are two sections that have not yet gone into effect, which will go into effect if 536.024 and only 536.024 is struck down by the courts. So there's a clear intent throughout the statutes that it applies only to delegations by the General Assembly. Now, no party truly defends the legislative veto here. The Secretary of State and the Public Service Commission take no position, and JCAR and the governor defend it only in the sense that they pretend it's something it's not. They say it's merely a process of legislative input and comment, and that's perfectly fine. The commission can hold hearings, make recommendations, seek information. What they cannot do is what they actually did here, which is suspend and disapprove and veto.
Can you address the effect 2015 adoption of a new rule on and whether that makes all your arguments about the earlier rule moot?
Certainly. Well, in JCAR 1, the trial court dismissed the case because the statute had been amended and the rule had been withdrawn. And the same two things happened here. The PSC revised the rule in 2015 in response to legislative amendments made in 2013.
Is it entitled to do that?
Yes, certainly it's required to do that. But the geographic sourcing issue, as we call it, never came up, except that the commission staff suggested that the reserve designation, which had been put in place of those two paragraphs, be removed so the rule could be renumbered as if those paragraphs had never existed.
Well, what would mandate the inclusion of the geographic considerations in the new 2015 rule?
If they had been restored, then I wouldn't be here. They would be in force, but they're not. They're still.
But what requires the Public Service Commission to place them in the new rule passed in 2015?
Well, nothing required them to do it in 2015.
I think Judge Hess is asking, you're asking us to assume the only reason they're not in there is because they were responding to the disapproval by JCAR, but could they on their own initiative choose not to include them?
And does their motivation even matter if they didn't include
Well,
them?
I would say no, because they would have to defy JCAR to do that.
And I mean, you seem to be saying they were required to offer the same rule with those provisions JCAR didn't like because JCAR had disapproved them, and I'm unclear on what basis you're arguing that.
Well, JCAR disapproved them in 1997.
But if approved or disapproved, why does that matter to what they did in 2015?
Well, it was a legislative action that had been removed from the rule. And I don't think that
not the 2015 rule. Can you explain to me legally? I must not be being clear in the question. I apologize. Whether they were right or wrong, whether they should have withdrawn the 2013 rule or not, whether JCAR had authority or not, if they adopted a new rule in 2015, why do we look at what happened before it? Why don't we just look at that rule?
They could have reopened the issue. They could have placed them back in the rule. Uh-huh. But I don't think that in light of what JCAR did in 2011 and 2010, that that was an option for them. Now, in the response to comments, the commission noted that this case was pending. And so it was not in their hands. It was in the court's hands.
Now, the underlying rule that the petition is concerned with is the 2010 rule, correct?
We are attacking the removal of the paragraphs in the 2010 rule.
Okay, but that rule's been rescinded by the PSC. So is that moot then?
It has not been rescinded. It has merely been revised.
So the PSC's brief that said they rescinded the rule and replaced it with the 2015 rule is an incorrect statement?
That's inaccurate. Rescinded to me means totally rescinded. But this is merely revised to take account of changes in the law. Now, in the JCAR 1 decision...
Didn't they publish a new rule for notice and comment and so forth? They didn't simply make revisions to the earlier published rule.
Yes, much of that original rule is still there.
I understand, but they went through a new process.
They went through a new process primarily because the legislature was phasing out the solar rebates that the utilities have to pay to customers who put solar panels on their roofs.
And JCAR didn't disapprove the 2015 rule?
No, they didn't.
Okay, so looks like they were looking at a new rule to me.
I think that it's when they acknowledge that the case was before the courts, that precluded their taking any action. In JCAR 1, the legislature amended the statute, but the court held that the issue was not moot because it was still infected with the same constitutional infirmity of the legislative veto. So an amendment does not suffice to moot an issue when the problem still remains in the rule.
The mootness issue in JCAR 1 dealt with the withdrawal of a rule. We're discussing the new rule in 2015. Does JCAR 1 in any way address that issue?
Well, withdrawal is another issue. Yes, now in that case, the Department of Natural Resources withdrew the rule nearly 2 years after it had been published. But the court held that since the final order of rulemaking had been filed with the Secretary of State, it was promulgated. And from that point on, the agency couldn't withdraw the rule by a simple order. They had to initiate an entire new notice and comment rulemaking process.
But isn't that what happened in this case?
Well, exactly the same thing happened, yes. They did not initiate a new rulemaking. No, I think I misunderstood. You're talking about the 2015.
I'm talking about the 2015 rule, right.
They did not initiate a new rulemaking in 2011 when they purported to withdraw the rule.
But why does that matter? Assume that was wrong and they had to under JCAR 1. Why does it affect the outcome of this case since they did issue a new rule in 2015 and through a whole new rulemaking process?
Well, the 2011 action decided by the governor is the reason why it didn't need to either veto or approve the concurrent resolution. It's a question of, did the withdrawal order in 2011 have any meaning? No, it did not. And did the 2015 rulemaking cure the constitutional defect? No, it did not, because that was not the subject of rulemaking. The fact that it had already been disapproved by the legislature and the further fact
that... What remedy could we give now if we agreed with your position?
What we're asking you to do is issue an order in mandamus for the Secretary of State to belatedly publish the two paragraphs that were disapproved in 2010.
Even though that rule's not in effect?
It never has been in effect, and that's why it couldn't be reached by the Court of Appeals on review, which interferes with the power of the judiciary to review the validity of rules. It's simply been a dead issue, and theoretically, could the commission have restored this paragraph in 2015? Well, they would have had to defy JCAR and overlook the fact that the matter is pending in the courts.
If that relief was granted, how would that change to the 2010 rule place those paragraphs within the 2015 rule?
They would simply go back in where they originally were, because The commission asked the Secretary of State not simply to remove the paragraphs, to replace them in their section numbers are still there, but replace them with the word reserved. So they simply reinserted where they originally should have been. And more to the point, the withdrawal order by the Public Service Commission was not an independent and voluntary act, because they said we're doing this pursuant to the actions of JCAR. So it did not undo the legislative veto, it actually confirmed it. And an additional reason why the withdrawal was ineffective is because the rule was on review in the courts, and at that point the Court of Appeals had lost jurisdiction.
Can they acquiesce in the actions of JCAR?
They did acquiesce. They.
I mean, could they voluntarily no longer pursue the geographic sourcing provisions, abandon their interest in having them?
I don't think so. I think that was foreclosed when JCAR disapproved the rules, and then the full legislature disapproved of the rules. They would have had to defy the will of the legislature. Now, I don't think that's a clear remedy. I'd like to answer further, but I'm not sure what more I can say.
It's all right. You're down to your last 20 seconds, so.
Well, no party truly defends the legislative veto, as I said. JCAR and the government pretend it's something it's not. It has 3 points that were condemned in JCAR 1, that the JCAR can suspend rules, prevent their publication enforcement, and they can be rejected by concurrent resolution, all of which are forbidden under JCAR. And my time is rapidly running out.
We'll hear from you on rebuttal. Thank you.
May it please the Court. Your Honors, I'd like to make 2 very brief points in my incredibly brief amount of time up here. First, as appellants correctly state, the Secretary of State's office does not take a position as to the substantive issues that the parties are arguing about. They will do a fantastic job of arguing that on their own. But second, we want to reiterate that the Secretary of State's office was serving in a purely ministerial role when it published a rule as instructed by JCAR and the Public Service Commission in their July 2010 letters. Now, with that said, I'm happy to answer any questions that the Court may have at the Secretary of State's office.
What was the purpose of publishing the 2015 rule with the 2 sections reserved?
To follow the history of the rule, essentially. That is common practice. As a rule is updated or changed over time, we keep kind of the history of the rule in there.
So does reserving it indicate an intention to respond to a court ruling?
Well, I believe that would be something that the PSC would probably be better suited to answer, but whenever a party reserves any portion of a rule, it could be for various reasons, whether it's for numbering purposes or...
Reserve means you just don't use that number?
Correct.
Or does it mean there's something you're holding back and you can... Or it could mean either one?
Correct. Well, it could mean it could be that they foresee additions to the rule down the line and they want to keep the sequence going in some kind of...
Are you reserving the number or reserving the content of whatever used to be there? Are you just reserving the number?
I guess that would be the intent of the agency submitting the rule. It's up to them.
Okay.
In this situation, they were reserving those specific portions. So we did exactly as they instructed and reserved those specific portions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you for your time and your attention.
May it please the Court, Ron Holliger for the Governor and for JCAR. I want to apologize first to the court about the argument I'm going to make in just a minute. I semi-retired and didn't pay as close attention to this case in the last appeal. This is the second appeal of this particular case. This case came on appeal in the year 2015. At that time, the governor and JCAR filed a motion to dismiss the appeal because there was a lack of final judgment. And the Public Service Commission filed a motion to dismiss for mootness, same grounds that are being raised now. This court dismissed the appeal and remanded it to the circuit court. I wasn't involved at that point. Unfortunately, it wasn't until this weekend when I dug into it that I found out that the coalition never cured the lack of finality problem that was present in the first appeal on this case. The lack of finality problem is that the circuit court before the first appeal and the circuit court as it stands now has never ruled on the summary judgment motions filed by the governor or by JCAR. There has never been any disposition of those claims. Those are the constitutional claims. What now that the coalition argues in great extent, the circuit court's never ruled on those. And that's jurisdictional and so we
don't. What did the court do on remand the first time?
All it did on remand was dismiss the case as moot.
So then it didn't need to reach the other issues if it dismissed the case as moot?
I suppose that is true. And I suppose that, and that's why I'm going to argue some other things, I suppose this court could decide that it was only going to determine, in this case today, the question of mootness. And if the court agreed that it was moot, that would be the end of it. If the court disagreed and said that the coalition was right, I think this court would have to return it to the circuit court for a disposition there on the constitutional issues. That might run afoul. I'm not sure how that fits in with this court's decision in June of this year in the Pista versus ConocoPhillips case that said the whole case comes up, whether or not you've identified it in the notice of appeal and by attaching all the interlocutory judgments and so forth. I'm not sure how you reconcile those results of dividing it up here when you said you didn't have to divide it up there. I'm going to turn to the issue of mootness. Mootness occurs, as the court knows, whenever an event occurs that makes a court's decision unnecessary or makes it impossible to grant effective relief. There are two such events here. On July 6, 2010, within the time permitted by statute, the PSC voted not to withdraw the order, the proposed order, but to send a final order of rulemaking. I'm sure some of you know that there are two steps in the rulemaking process. You have to do a proposed order, you open up for notice of comment, and the agency looks at the comment and decides whether it needs to make any changes in the rule, and it's perfectly entitled. In fact, the comment period is intended to allow the agency to reevaluate its proposed rules. The court in JCAR 1 indicated the legislature, through a committee or individuals, had just as much right to comment upon the rules. So that what JCAR did in this case originally with the proposed rule could be looked upon, at least initially, as their comments and their observations. This case is not like JCAR 1. In JCAR 1, there had been a final order of rulemaking before, and then an attempt to withdraw it. Here, the agency never withdrew any rule. They adopted, by vote, a final order of rulemaking, sent it to the Secretary of State. In JCAR 1, JCAR ordered the Secretary of State not to publish the rule at all. And it didn't have to do with just a couple of provisions, but it had to do with the entire rule. But the Secretary of State here published the rule, the final order of rulemaking, exactly as it was adopted and approved by the Public Service Commission and was sent to them. It became law then.
Is there any effect by these reserve sections? Does that have any effect on your argument?
I don't think so. I think perhaps the PSC is best entitled, but as you know, the legislature, or the reviser, I should say, be the proper person, often reserves sections and numbers, and preserves numbers, so that you don't, you know, it's not the best thing when either the legislature or an agency changes a rule and then has to adopt whole new numbers, because it makes it impossible sometimes, or very difficult, to research and follow what's going on. So I don't think the reservation, although that's what JCAR ordered. Anyway, all of that is moot, because the second event was, in 2015, they passed a new rule.
Could PSC have adopted the rule in 2015 with the geographic sourcing provisions that had been disapproved by JCAR?
I think so. The action only dealt with JCAR only dealt with the rule that was proposed in the spring of 2010.
And
that
what would the consequences
that they submitted to the PSC?
What would the consequences have been to them if they had adopted the rule in 2015 with the geographic sourcing provisions?
In them? Mm-hmm. In the rule in 2013? Well, Mr. Morrison, if it was early 2013, would argue that
2015, the question was. If they'd put it in the new rule they adopted in 2015?
I don't think what JCAR did with regard to in 2010 has any legal effect. If it did, if JCAR had ever disapproved of anything 50 years ago, they wouldn't be able to change policy with changing times, and I don't think that's a reasonable conclusion. Another important point is, Mr. Robertson has talked about this being Proposition C being passed by the voters and therefore not subject to JCAR. Well, it doesn't matter. You don't have to reach that issue, because Proposition C is not the law of Missouri. The legislature repealed Proposition C in 2013 and enacted a new statute with additional provisions dealing with other subjects. They just didn't amend it. They repealed it and then enacted a new statute. So this rule in 2015 comes under the authority, and that, by the way, that new statute in 2013 directly authorized the PSC to issue regulations. It also adopted the references to JCAR. But JCAR took no action with regard to the 2015 rule. It's now the law in Missouri. I don't see how the 2010 rule can't both be the law. But in effect, the coalition is arguing that the Public Service Commission could never change its mind and never change its attitude towards any particular provision. I'm going to stop now, because I've taken up some of the PSC's time. So.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Jennifer Heinz on behalf of the Public Service Commission. And this case is moot. There has been both a statutory change and a rule change since the 2010 rulemaking that appellants are challenging here. So the original statute has been replaced by the statute that the legislature passed in 2013. The amendment included a new grant of rulemaking authority to the commission, and that grant of rulemaking authority, by the way, specifically says that we need to send our renewable energy standards rule to JCAR. We did that. I don't think that the argument that we didn't have to send the rule to JCAR in 2010 is valid. We did. There were at least three statutes that required us to do that. Now there are four. So we did have to submit the rule to JCAR. And the other thing I'd like to point out about the statute is that in neither the 2008 version or the 2013 version did the legislature or the people, when they passed the ballot initiative, incorporate geographic sourcing provisions into the statute. They're not there. And the statute doesn't require the commission to include them in its rulemaking, and the commission didn't. So the appellants don't have a statutory right to have geographic sourcing provisions included in renewable energy standard or RES rules. And of course, that would be something that would be required for them to obtain relief by mandamus. If they have no statutory right to the relief they're asking for, they are not entitled to mandamus. I will agree with counsel for the other defendants. This geographic sourcing provision has never been submitted to the Secretary of State for publication. It was specifically said, we're submitting this, we're asking that you not publish these sections. And the commission has repeatedly shown that it does not intend to have geographic sourcing provisions in the rule. It sent that initial letter to the Secretary of State.
Why didn't it just leave it out? Why did it say reserve?
At the time that was done, there was still some uncertainty on the commission. This was an issue that divided the commission as well as the parties.
When you say at the time, are you referring to when reserve was first put in?
In 2010.
Okay.
Yes. So at the time, the commission at that time was not entirely sure how we were going to handle the geographic sourcing issue. Maybe we would try to revise the rule. But then in January of 2011, the commission issued an order, said, you know what, we abandon that. We're not going to pursue geographic sourcing provisions. And most tellingly of all, the commission passed a new rule in 2015 without including the geographic sourcing provisions, which they could have done.
And so the question then would be, why was reserved placed in the 2015 rule?
That was done at the request of the appellants in this case. They did participate in the rulemaking, and they said there's a lawsuit pending, and the commission said we will not change the numbering, we'll preserve the continuity, but they have not come back to wanting that content, the content of the geographic sourcing rules, placed in the rule, and they have not done that at all. All of their indications have been that they don't intend to include geographic sourcing rules, and of course, it's the commission that must decide what the state's renewable energy standards rule will be. So the commission agrees with the circuit court that the case is moot and asks the court to affirm the judgment of the lower court. And that is the very end of my time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
The reason for the reserve designation is given in the PSC's letter to the Secretary of State submitting the rule in 2010, the commission asked that the sections be reserved for later use in the event the commission decides to amend the rule.
But don't agencies have to follow the statutes?
Yes.
And so the fact that there was a statute passed by initiative, which was later repealed and reenacted without the same provisions, isn't that about as clear a real legislative intent as any agency could ever receive?
It was not repealed, and the argument that the respondents are making seems to say that there's no such thing as an amendment to a law. If one word is changed, then the entire thing has been repealed. But no, this law can be amended with the bulk of it still remaining as it was before.
But why doesn't the statute in 2013 govern or inform what the rules should be?
It does, and the statute still contains those geographic sourcing provisions that were interpreted in our favor by the PSC back in 2010. The language in the statute is still there. Therefore, the rules to implement that language should be in the rule. But the PSC could only follow the law, and the legislative veto was still on the books, not the same sections that the court struck down in 1997. So it was hardly the PSC's role to say, oh, we're going to ignore the laws that are now on the books.
It was a different committee from 5 years earlier. How was that still on the books? What Jay Carr said, how does that have any relevance to the 2015?
Oh, the legislative veto is still on the books in Chapter 536.
Okay.
Was it different from Yes.
So, not what Jay Carr had done.
So the PSC could only follow the law, and it would have been extraordinary for them to say, okay, we were forbidden to do this in 2010, we're going to do it again anyway. That would have been, I think, extraordinary defiance of the law.
Did you ask them to leave the reserved in there in the event that this court would order that those paragraphs be put in?
Yes.
Did you ask them to leave the word reserved in the 2015
yes,
rule?
Because
yes. You believe this court might ultimately order that those paragraphs be inserted there?
Exactly. I mean, the commenter, Renew Missouri, said exactly that. This case is pending, so don't take the reserved designation out. Leave it in. To actually ask them to reinstate the rule after JCARD's approval and the pendency of this case, I don't see how you can say the PSC could have done that.
Thank you.
And finally, Mr. Holliger's argument makes the first time regarding dismissal and the case not being final. The dismissal disposed of all the parties in the case, all the issues. And the fact that there had not been express ruling on motions for summary judgment, therefore, did not matter. The same thing happened in JCAR 1, and there was no issue of finality.
Well, if the court believed, as the circuit court did, that it's moot, then the issues concerning the summary judgment wouldn't need to be considered.
Well, not by this court. Those would be going back to circuit court.
Okay. Thank you. Case will be submitted.